A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You know, Korn, this whole show runs on GPU compute, and we wouldn't be here without Modal.
Seriously. And that's what powers all our text-to-speech. Everything you're hearing right now.
They're an AI infrastructure platform. Developers use them to run GPU workloads in the cloud with zero infrastructure headaches.
If you're building anything with AI, check them out. Modal.com. So, you know that voice you're hearing right now? The one narrating this very sentence? That's not me. I'm a sloth. I don't actually talk this fast. That's Chatterbox, the text-to-speech model from Resemble AI. And Daniel's prompt today is basically asking us to put it on the operating table and see what makes it tick.
Herman Poppleberry here, and this is a delightfully meta prompt. We're essentially dissecting the vocal cords of our own show. By the way, today's episode is powered by Xiaomi Mimo V2 Pro, which feels appropriate given we're talking about AI voice tech. So, Resemble AI. They've been around since 2019, Canadian company, and they raised a $13.5 million Series A back in 2022. Their whole thing has been commercial voice cloning and speech-to-speech APIs. But Chatterbox represents a really interesting strategic pivot for them into open source.
Right, and that's the core of Daniel's question. What makes Chatterbox powerful, and how does it balance that commercial-grade quality with the flexibility of just giving it away? Because on the surface, that seems like a weird business move. Like, why spend millions in R&D and then just hand over the keys?
It's not giving it away entirely. The open-source model is a distribution and ecosystem play. It's like, imagine a power tool company. They sell the high-end, industrial-grade saws to professional workshops, but they also release the blueprints for a really good, versatile handsaw. A million hobbyists and small carpenters start using it, improving it, building accessories for it. That creates a standard, a community, and a pipeline of users who might one day need that industrial saw. Resemble's core commercial API is the industrial saw. Chatterbox is the open-source handsaw that gets everyone building with their technology.
Okay. That analogy makes sense. It's about seeding the market. But to understand why it's a good seed, we have to look at the architecture. It's not just one model, it's a family. There's the original Chatterbox, which is focused on high quality and multilingual support. And then there's Chatterbox Turbo, which is their efficiency play. That's the 350 million parameter model designed for low compute and VRAM. The key innovation isn't just the raw quality. It's the control mechanisms built in, especially for prosody.
And the control aspect is what separates it from a lot of earlier open source TTS, which was often just, here's a model, feed it text, get audio, good luck. Chatterbox is built for tinkering from the ground up.
Prosody. That's the music of speech, right? The rhythm, the stress, the intonation. It's what makes someone sound excited versus bored, or asking a question versus making a statement. Most TTS sounds flat, or it has these weird, exaggerated ups and downs that scream, robot. So how does Chatterbox actually handle that? What's under the hood?
Okay, so this is where it gets technical, but I think it's fascinating. The backbone is a modified Fast Speech 2 architecture. That's a known quantity in TTS. It's good at generating MEL spectrograms from text quickly. But the magic is in a couple of additions. First, there's a variational autoencoder, a VAE, that's specifically modeling timbre. That's the tonal quality that makes you sound like you, and me sound like me. But the real prosody breakthrough is a dedicated prosody encoder.
A dedicated encoder just for the music of the speech. So it's not trying to bake prosody into the main text encoding? It's treating it like a separate ingredient?
Not directly, and that's the clever part. What it does is it extracts prosodic features at the phoneme level. We're talking about pitch contours, energy, duration. So for every single sound unit in the Quit Brown Fox, it's modeling how that sound should be stressed, how long it should be held, what pitch it should hit, and it extracts these features from reference audio. Think of it like this. The text encoder understands the words and the grammar. The prosody encoder listens to a reference clip and learns the performance. It's the difference between reading a line of Shakespeare silently and hearing it performed by a classically trained actor. The words are the same. The delivery is everything.
So if I give it 5 seconds of me talking, and I'm, you know, a sloth, so I talk slowly and with long pauses, it's not just grabbing my voice, it's grabbing my whole vibe, my lethargic cadence, it's learning my particular brand of dramatic pause.
Essentially, yes. The reference audio acts as a conditioning signal for both the timbre VAE and the prosody encoder. They work in concert. And they claim, an independent benchmark from March this year seemed to back this up, that this method produces more natural and controllable prosody than models that try to learn it implicitly. They trained this on over 10,000 hours of licensed audio from more than 500 speakers. That diversity in accents and speaking styles is crucial for the zero-shot capability. It's heard everything from a fast-talking New Yorker to a slow, deliberate speaker from the Scottish Highlands, so it has a vast library of how to draw from.
Zero shot, meaning you don't need to fine-tune it on a specific voice. You just give it a sample and it goes. Now, you mentioned the open-source play. What's actually in the repository? Because open-source can mean a lot of things. From here's a crippled demo to here's the keys to the kingdom.
This is much closer to the keys. The GitHub repo, which has over 2,400 stars as of this recording, includes the pre-trained model weights, the inference code, and the fine-tuning scripts. The license is permissive, Apache 2.0, so a developer can take this, host it locally on their own GPU, fine-tune it on their own data, and integrate it into a commercial product without paying. Resemble an API fee. That's a massive difference from, say, 11labs, which is a closed, subscription-based API.
That's the trade-off, right? With 11labs, you get incredible quality and a dead simple interface, but you're locked into their pricing, their latency, and their data policies. With Chatterbox, you take on the operational burden, but you get total control. No data leaves your server. You can tweak the model itself. For a company building a voice assistant where privacy is paramount, or for a game developer who needs thousands of unique NPC voices without per-character API costs, that's a game-changer. I'm imagining a fantasy RPG where every single villager, guard, and merchant has a subtly distinct voice generated on the fly. The cost with a commercial API would be astronomical.
And the fine-tuning requirement is shockingly low. There are case studies of developers fine-tuning Chatterbox on just 30 minutes of clean audio to create a very convincing clone for a game mod. That's not for a production-grade, legally licensed commercial voice, but for a personal project or an internal tool, it's incredibly accessible. The barrier to entry for custom voice creation has plummeted. It used to require hours of studio-quality data and a deep understanding of machine learning pipelines. Now, it's a weekend project.
Okay, so we've got the architecture and the open source angle. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, or maybe the donkey in the room. How good is it, actually? We're using it right now, so I guess we're biased, but how does it stack up in a head-to-head? I mean, our listeners are hearing this and judging for themselves.
The benchmarks from early 2026 are interesting. In controlled prosody tests, Chatterbox, particularly the multilingual model, matches or very slightly exceeds commercial offerings like 11labs on metrics like pitch accuracy and naturalness of rhythm. Where it still lags, from what we can see, is in extreme emotional expressiveness. If you want a voice that sounds like it's weeping with joy or trembling with fear, the commercial models, with their massive, curated, emotion-tagged datasets, still have an edge. Chatterbox's emotion control is more about exaggeration. Dials, making a happy sound happier, rather than nuanced, context-driven emotional performance. It's like the difference between a painter who has a tube of paint labeled joy and one who has to mix it from yellow and orange. The first is more direct, the second requires more skill, but offers more subtlety.
So it's fantastic for narration, for clear, natural-sounding speech with good pacing, like, say, a podcast. But if you're dubbing an animated film where every line needs a specific, over-the-top emotional delivery, you might still lean on a commercial service. For 90% of use cases, though, that prosody control is more than enough. Most applications need clarity and consistency, not theatrical tears.
Precisely. And the efficiency of Turbo is notable. They're claiming first audio output in under 150 milliseconds. That's getting into real-time conversational latency territory. When you combine that speed with local hosting, you can build interactive voice applications that feel snappy without relying on a cloud API that might have variable latency. Imagine a customer service bot that responds with a custom, branded voice instantly, with all processing happening on your own secure server. The user experience is seamless, and the data never leaves your control.
Let's talk about the ecosystem. Because a model is only as good as the community around it. What are people actually doing with this? I want specifics.
The GitHub repo is active. You see a lot of fine-tuned speaker adaptations being shared. People are creating voices for specific characters, for accessibility tools, for content creation. There's a growing library of community-tested fine-tuning recipes. It's becoming a hub for the open-source voice AI community in a way that Koki TTS was a couple of years ago, but with more modern architecture and that prosody focus. I saw a thread where a developer was creating a voice for a visually impaired user that mimicked the user's deceased relative, using old home videos as the source material. The emotional resonance of that application is profound, and it was built on a consumer GPU.
That's actually really moving, and a powerful example of the control this technology enables. I also saw one example of independent podcasters using it to generate consistent narration for shows where they couldn't afford or didn't want to hire a voice actor. The consistency is key. Once you fine-tune a voice, it doesn't get sick, it doesn't have a bad day, it's the same every single time. It's a tool for creative independence.
That's a huge practical application. Another is in regulated industries. Think healthcare or finance, where you might want a voice interface but have strict rules about data leaving your network. You can run Chatterbox entirely on-premise. The built-in watermarking, their PeerTH watermarker, is also a clever move. It embeds an inaudible signal into the generated audio so you can detect that it's AI-generated. That helps with provenance and combating misuse, which is a responsible step for an open-source release. They're not just throwing a powerful tool over the wall, they're including a safety harness.
It's smart. They're giving away the model, but building in a tool for accountability. It addresses the, but what about deepfakes, concern head-on. So, for our listeners who are developers, creators, or just tech curious, what's the takeaway? When should someone consider Chatterbox over a commercial API?
If you need custom voice branding and have access to a GPU, even a consumer-grade one, Chatterbox offers a viable, high-quality, open-source path. If data privacy and locality are non-negotiable, it's one of the best options. If you want to experiment with fine-grained prosody control to really tweak how a sentence is delivered at the phonetic level, the tools are right there in the repository. The action step is to clone the repo, grab 5 seconds of clean audio, your own voice, a willing friend's, a public domain recording, and run the inference script. See what it sounds like. Then, if you're feeling adventurous, try the fine-tuning process with a bit more data. The documentation is surprisingly good.
The barrier is just your curiosity and a Python environment. It's a far cry from the old days where you needed a PhD and $1 million compute budget to even start. It's like the difference between having to build your own car engine versus just renting a car. Now, you can rent the car or build a pretty decent engine from a well-made kit.
And that democratization is the real story. Resemble is betting that by fostering a large, active open-source community, they'll create a rising tide that lifts all boats, including their commercial enterprise offerings. It's a classic open-core strategy, but executed with a genuinely high-quality base model. The community finds bugs, suggests features, and builds applications. Resemble never would have imagined. That feedback loop is invaluable.
It makes you wonder about the future. If these open source models keep closing the quality gap at this pace, what's the value proposition of a closed API in 2 years? Is it just the managed service, the we handle the GPUs for you aspect? Or will they have to differentiate on even more advanced features, like real-time emotion adaptation from context? Like a voice assistant that can hear you're stressed and deliberately softens its tone?
That's the open question. My guess is we'll see a bifurcation. The open source models like Chatterbox will become the good enough for most things standard, especially for applications where control and cost are key. The commercial APIs will push into ultra-high fidelity, emotionally intelligent, multimodal experiences, like understanding a user's tone and adapting the response voice in real time, which requires even more complex integration. They'll become the luxury concierge option. But for a huge swath of applications, from indie games to internal corporate tools to personalized accessibility tech, Chatterbox is already proving that open source isn't just a toy. It's a foundational piece of the new voice-first internet.
It's a powerful tool, and a pretty cool one to have running our show. All right, let's wrap this up.
Big thanks to Modal for providing the GPU credits that power this show.
And thanks as always to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you're enjoying the show, a quick review on your podcast app helps us reach new listeners. This has been My Weird Prompts. I'm Korn.
And I'm Herman Poppleberry. See you next time.
This episode was produced using Xiaomi Mimo V2 Pro. Text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where our thoughts go from slow takes to facts on cue. We change and follow through. My Weird Prompts, that's the close from sloth.